Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
You can watch us on Twitch, a new way to experience the show. Check it out. It's twitch.tv or download the Twitch app. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. It is all powered by Buffalo Wild Wings in Algonquin. Shout out to everyone up there. Love that place. And Miller Lite. So we have not talked a lot of Blackhawks with the breaking news today. Game one is tonight, and we absolutely can't wait. You can watch it. We talked to Eddie yesterday, and it's going to be great to hear and watch Pat and Eddie do another game. And you got the best of seven here against the Golden Knights from Vegas, a team the Hawks have not played well against. So let's go to the Corona Hotline and find out why. And get everything set up. He will give you the pregame show tonight on NBC Sports Chicago. And he's our friend. He's Pat Boyle. PB. He joins Waddle and Sylvie. What's up, good time, Patty Boyle?
I'm doing great. It was great to hear Barkley on in last hour, breaking down some pucks as well. I love that. Huge Hawks fan. So.
And some Gentlemen's Club suggestions as well.
Yeah. Yes. I thought Kenny the Jet had the best line there. He went there for the wings, but he really thought he was there for the thighs and the legs.
Yeah. Hello.
So I read this stat today, PB, that the Hawks since the Knights have come into existence are just 1-8 against the Knights. Why has that been the case?
Simply put, because they're a really good hockey team, and the Hawks have been in a rough stretch the last 2 years. But no, the Golden Knights took this league by storm a couple of years ago, and you know they were cast-offs from all the other teams in the league, and there were a bunch of guys on one-year deals, and they were going to go play in this city that you know is known for Siegfried and Roy, not necessarily pro sports. And certainly, that has changed. That town went through a horrific experience just before the Golden Knights started and played their first game. And they went on, like, one of the most special rides in recent memory in pro sports, going all the way to the Stanley Cup Final in their first year. And they fell short against Washington. But last year, they had another hard-fought first-round series where they led 3-1. They led San Jose. Ended up losing that game, that series in 7 games. So they have some unfinished business. You know, I look back to when the Blackhawks lost to the Kings in 2014. Every one of the Blackhawks said in 2015 they used that Game 7 loss in the Western Conference Finals as motivation to get back to it. So I think you're talking about a team in Vegas that's really talented, especially their forwards. They can score on every line. They've got speed. They play a structured defensive system, and they've got some unfinished business. You put all that together, that's a pretty dangerous package, and the Blackhawks have their work cut out for them.
There are some folks that are predicting a Knights sweep. Paint me a picture, PB, on how the Blackhawks can do the unthinkable and upset this team.
I think game one is paramount. You've got an opportunity of taking on a team that played 3 round-robin games against, you know, we've heard, you know, St. Louis just, you know, went to Edmonton and didn't even care to bring their skates and sticks, that they just were disinterested. So they haven't played games at the same pace, speed, and as much on the line as the Blackhawks played in 4 games against Edmonton. So maybe in game one, you could say that the Golden Knights might have a little bit more rust and having not played, you know, really competitive hockey at the highest level. Although if you watched their game Saturday against Colorado, I thought they got after it pretty tenaciously. So it was We'll see. I think you jump on him in game one, you get Corey Crawford's game four performance, and you get that, let's say, in two or three games where he steals the game, where you get badly outshot, but because Corey is there and saves the day, you get more scoring than just the top line. And that was really my concern going into this series, is that Taves Kubelik's sideline really carried the scoring for the Blackhawks in that first round matchup against the Oilers. We didn't see a ton from, you know, Kane and DeBrincat, only combined for one goal in that series. So you can look at it two ways, that they advance without those two guys and they're bound to get going, or you got to figure out, is that line going to become a threat? So that would be, they got to get more scoring than just the top line, the Taves line. And defensively, they need to be very patient against this team, because, again, they averaged 5 goals per game in their 3-round robins. They had 10 different players score, and all but 2 players on their roster registered a point. So they're getting offensive production from everywhere. And the Hawks, as we know, have been challenged defensively. They've looked better. They did a good job against the Oilers 5-on-5. But again, that was a two-horse team in Drysdale and McDavid, and this is a whole other beast with Vegas.
How do you see the Corey Crawford versus Robin Lehner matchup?
I think it's going to play out like it did during the regular season. Both guys were fantastic for the Hawks. They split, you know, almost the 70 games down the middle. Both had a lot of success as far as, you know, compared to the quality of chance that the opposition was firing their way. They didn't necessarily have a ton of win-loss success. I mean, they were the 12th seed after all. But I think Lehner feels like he should have got a contract extension from the Blackhawks, and I think deep down he is probably bothered by that. And I think he would like to prove that they made a mistake in not signing him to a long-term deal. And I think Corey is just a different cat. I think he's not going to get caught up in this mess. He's playing for a contract himself, and I think that the Corey we saw in Game 4 is just the beginning of a guy that's 2 weeks removed from, you know, COVID-19 and was just kind of finding himself and finding his game. So I think that's going to be a catalyst to his performance in this upcoming series, and they're going to need every bit of good Corey if they want to pull off the upset.
Pat, how did you feel Patrick Kane played against the Oilers, and how do you expect him to play against the Golden Knights?
I thought he played all right. I thought they had more chances than the stats reflected. I think he had 4 points, a goal, and 3 assists. So, like, he's still averaging a point a game, which, you know, that's very productive if you're a point per game person. I think you would like to see more from the Hawks' power play. We saw it in game one of that series, and it was pretty sporadic the rest of the way. I think Kirby Dach is the right centerman for him. I'm just wondering why he and Alex DeBrincat didn't click. Like, they've clicked at different times when they've been paired together. It's just been this age-old question of who you're going to put out there with Patrick Kane. And, you know, some guys tend to defer to him too much. Others don't get him the puck enough. And it's not as easy as you think to play with a top 5 player in the league when you've got head games wondering if you're getting him the puck enough or if you're being selfish at the right time.
PB, for the bandwagon guys who are jumping on here and don't follow the team as closely as you do.
Are you talking at me? Is that
yeah,
what you're
both of us looking.
Are you talking at me?
There are still some guys, PB, that I'm learning about on this team that I don't know a ton about. Like, for instance, Highmore had a good series, scored a couple of goals in the last series. Who is somebody that surprised you in the last series the play-in against Edmonton that you think can continue to play well?
I'll use Matthew Hymar as an example. I thought that fourth line at times was surprisingly good for the Blackhawks. And I think successful championship teams in the Stanley Cup get production from their bottom six. I wasn't impressed with the Blackhawks' third line, which had Dylan Strome on it, Drake Caggiula, and Alex Nylander. That is a line that I think needs to be productive. They weren't good defensively, and they weren't good offensively either. So I liked the fact that players were getting to the net. We saw Matthew Hymar and Dominik Kubalik both get goals on redirections. That is something that this team in the last few years has been horrible at. And part of that is you got to get pucks from the defensemen through the screens in front and through traffic in front so that you can get those deflections, and then you got to make the most of those opportunities. Hymar did that. I thought Dominik Kubalik was certainly fantastic in game one, had the 5 points, and then he came through with the series clinching goal up from Jonathan Toews. So forwards wise, I'll go with those two. I thought the biggest surprise was on the Hawks D, Calvin DeHaan and Connor Murphy. They became kind of the shutdown defensive pair up against Draisaitl and against McDavid. And I think that D pair is the one you're going to see at least Jeremy Colleton try to get out there against Mark Stone, Max Pacioretty, and William Karlsson, the top line of Vegas. So those would be the names that kind of jumped off the page. Obviously, you know, Jonathan Toews had just a fantastic series, and that clinching goal. One thing that Jamal Mayers pointed out on the post game show is, you know, the battle it takes for Toews to win, and you're fighting to get the puck, and you're pushing the player, and you're showing all this physicality, and then finally, when you steal the puck, you have to have this finesse shot to put it right on a platter to Dominik Kubalik for the one-timer. And for a player to go through that battle and then have the finish, the finesse, that's something that's elite. And honestly, that's one thing that if you look at this Vegas Golden Knights team, one area they have struggled is their shot percentage. It was like 7%. That's really, really low. The Hawks were 14% in the qualifying round. That tells you the Hawks have some elite finishers, and that may be the Golden Knights. That's one area they struggle in is finishing.
Hey, PB, real quick, on another note, I know despite the news today that Jim Harbaugh had his guys out on the field for practice today. What was Michigan State doing?
I do not know that question, that answer.
Sorry.
But I was bummed out. Look, we've had a lot of negativity, certainly in the world, and a lot of bad news on the sports front. It's been great to see what the NBA and the NHL have been able to do, and MLB, you know, it's a tug of war seemingly every day there. But I was bummed to hear that the Big Ten is going to shut it down this year. We'll see what happens. But when I heard Jim was continuing to practice, I was like, well, that sounds like Captain Comeback. He's nuts.
Yes.
Yo, he's crazy. That's for sure. All right, you got the hair looking good. How about Jammer? Does he have the pink pants on again tonight?
Yeah, I don't know if he's going pink pants. We got a lot of Twitter reaction on that. But, yeah, we're going to a lot of iced coffee tonight. Face-off is around 9:45. So it's going to be another late one. But wasn't it great on Friday to have that, like, pit in your stomach again?
Yes.
of watching a team try to hold on in advance or get the equalizer like they did in the previous game, slapping the couch like I know Mark Silverman was doing, going crazy. We missed that, didn't we?
We missed it big time, yeah. You know, and that's what Waddle lives for.
Well, he lives for postseason hockey. And
of course.
So,
the season started a few weeks ago. I'm in.
Are you going to ask me for a prediction here?
How many pucks are you putting on the Hawks tonight?
Well, here's the deal. The logical hockey observer would say this is a really tough spot, okay? You look at stats, you look at the recent history, it's heavily slanted towards the Vegas Golden Knights. But enough of negativity. You guys gave me the nickname of Good Time, all right?
All right.
I can't come out here and say Golden Knights in five with that. So I'm going full meatball, cue Chelsea dagger. I'm riding the wave.
Yes.
Let's go. Let's see if this team can take us on another crazy, crazy ride. I'm going Blackhawks in seven.
Yeah.
Biscuit and basket.
That's awesome, PB.
Woo! I just wet myself.
You do that anyway.
Man, I just wet myself.
PB, you're the best. We'll
thank
be watching
you,
tonight,
Patty
okay?
Boyle.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you later. Thank you.
Well. Hawks in seven. Wow.
Hey, by the way, I've got to let you know that Sam Adams Boston Lager is celebrating the return of sports to Chicago. Every day we're highlighting one of the best sports bars in the Chicagoland area. Today we salute Hawthorne's Backyard in West Chicago. Text Sam Adams to 31996 for your chance to win a Sam Adams summer cooler. Hawthorne's Backyard in West Chicago. And Sam Adams helping you celebrate the return of sports.
Yeah, speaking of the return of sports, we made some changes today on ESPN 1000, and they are good. We will tell you about them coming up next.
Hey, tonight's Sox game is brought to you by X's and O's in Palos Heights. Stop in and grab a couple Goose Island White Sox Golden Ales tonight. X's and O's in Palos Heights is a proud official White Sox bar and is a fantastic place to watch a Sox game.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, we got Sox baseball coming up in about 7 minutes from right now.
You think the White Sox can actually score some runs tonight?
Let's see. Andy Mazur, our good buddy, has the call. It's great to hear him on our radio station as well.
Yes.
Our radio station made news today, Waddle. We have a brand new morning local show, okay? I've been at the radio station since ESPN purchased it in 1998. And
never
now,
have we had a local show.
Never, never. And like many people have tried, Mike Thomas has been able to do the impossible, and it's awesome. It's going to be David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood. It's called Cap and Jay Hood. And it will get started at 7 a.m. every single day. It's a big moment here at ESPN 1000. Now, the morning will get started with also the networks of morning show of Keyshawn, Jay Williams, and Zubin. That's from 5 to 7. The local morning show will go from 7 to 10 with Cap and Jay Hood. Carmen and Yurko will be moved up a couple of hours from 10 until 2. We had our buddy Greeny on the show a little bit earlier. Greeny is back on the radio station right before us, like in the old days when we were on from 9 to 1, and he was on a Mike and Mike. You'll hear Greeny from noon to 2, and we will be in our usual slot of 2 to 6. And then taking over the baseball show and then some from Jonathan Hood is Bleck and Abdallah. So they're going to be on every night from 6 until 8. And before that, I sing their praises, and we can talk about the show. The one thing that is most important here, and I don't know, Waddle, if you even know this, this is the last show that we will all four be together.
Yes, I know Jeff is going to be gone Thursday and Friday. I'm out tomorrow, and you are out Friday as well, I believe. So.
Right, and so the one thing that I wanted to say here, and you said it a couple of different times, and I'm sure we've talked to him individually as well, is, it's just a reshuffling the way they're doing it. They're moving some producers, and Jeff Meller, who has produced this show, has provided sound on this show, has provided a voice on this show, and a lot of times sense to this show, is going and taking his talents to the morning show. Then with Carmen and Yurko, you'll hear him. And Jeff, you know, and I said this to you in a phone call, the Waddle and Sylvie show doesn't have the success that it has without Jeff Meller. That when we first started, shortly after that, Meller came aboard. When we were still raw, when we were still trying to find our way,
We needed help. Yeah, we still do.
And Meller was there, and And Meller, you've done so many things for this radio show and this radio station, and you will continue to do many, many great things from a hosting standpoint and from a producing standpoint, that this by no means is goodbye. This is by no means like something that you're not going to be our teammate anymore. But I just want the audience to understand how much you've done for this station, for this radio show, and how much you'll continue to do for Cap and Jonathan Hood, and we thank you for everything that you've provided.
Well, thanks, Sylvia. I truly do appreciate the kind words, and of course, it was easy, man. You guys, you and Waddle have been great to work with over the years, and you know what is one of the coolest things is to love your job, because then you're never doing a day of work in your life, and that's truly what I've felt over the last, probably it's been, you know, close to like 11 years at least that I've been with you guys. So, you know, that's a huge portion of my life. I've grown up with you guys. So it's been
not just on the air, but off the air. Like, yeah. I mean, I don't think people realize how close we are as a group in different arenas and spend time with each other's
families.
You
spent your anniversary with us.
That's right.
You guys and not my 10th right. anniversary I spent with you
two. That's a Kentucky Derby.
And not my wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that just goes to show how close we actually are. And don't worry, I will certainly be, I told Waddle earlier, I'm not going to not text you guys when Kirk Cousins throws a pick six.
That's right.
You guys will be the first in the group text.
I
to,
knew he said. Well, he actually asked me if I was going to text him, and I reminded him it's usually him instigating those text chains. So I echo everything you just said, Sylvia. You know, I've talked to Jeff off the air, and I've mentioned it a couple of times. You know, just to reiterate what you said. I mean, this is an ensemble crew that has worked so very well for so many years, and thank you, Jeff Meller, for what you've done. And it won't be forgotten. And again, we'll still all be teammates and we'll still all party together.
Well, thank you guys as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And now, more than ever, you can provide us with those great out-of-context Cap sound bites.
That's right.
That we can have fun absolutely. With. Because, yeah, it's on earlier, so amen. I can't be the watchdog like I have been all the time with the kids
did
going, with
the
learning.
Did you hear what he said?
Yeah. So, Meller, those tax better keep on coming. So we'll hear that. And so Meller will be moving to the mornings. You'll hear him with Carmen Yurko, both on the air and the fantastic work he does. And then Chris Black will be moving with Abdallah on our show every day from 2 to 6. And then they will be on the air from 6 to 8, starting with the baseball show.
And congratulations. I know I speak for everyone to Jonathan Hood.
Yes.
For a much-deserved opportunity to be a part of this morning show, something that this station has never had locally. And congratulations to Adam Abdallah and Chris Black, who will be anchoring the 6 to 8 slot, the baseball show, and then after that as well.
And thank you to all of our listeners, because throughout the years, you've all wherever we've been on the day, you've followed us, and we appreciate you. We've got Sox and Tigers coming up next. Thank you to Mike Greenberg, Charles Barkley, and Pat Boyle. Thank you to Jeff Meller. And, of course, Adam Abdallah. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Tuesday night.
It's the classic!
Waddle, waddle, then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle, till the very next day. Bump, 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 bump.
And thank you to all and to all a good night.
Tonight's baseball game is brought to you by X's and O's in Palos Heights. Stop in and grab a couple of Goose Island White Sox Golden Ales tonight. X's and O's in Palos Heights is a proud official White Sox bar and is a fantastic place to watch a Sox game.